This morning we welcome Doug Traversa as our speaker. Doug is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Tullahoma. He completed his seminary studies at Meadville-Lombard Theological School in Chicago. Doug is a retired Air Force officer, and he and his wife Jancy live in Tullahoma. Today, Doug will speak on one of my favorite titles I think I've ever seen. Speak on the topic, Through the Looking Glass, Different Ways of Understanding Reality, whatever that is. Let's welcome Doug.
I have props today. Well, congratulations on getting your clock set properly and showing up on time. It's been a rough day, I'll tell you. I forgot my phone. I feel naked today. I didn't share it during Joys and Concerns because you had so many, but I just wanted to share, I missed being here in February. Don't get to come every month, and it just seems a little emptier if I don't get to see you. And B, I don't know if the two are connected, but February was a terrible month for our congregation. We had two people die. Some of you may know either Richard Kramer or Pat Peller. Pat had been fighting leukemia for years, and he finally succumbed, but fought for over 10 years. It's a pretty amazing story there. We had two more have surgery, a third admitted to the hospital, but nothing was found. So it's been a rough time for us, and I'm hoping that March is a better month, because February has probably been the most dismal since I was there, as far as just bad things happening within our congregation. But thinking about death is part of the job description of being a minister, but it's also part of a job description of being human. And death is going to tie into this topic. You're not going to see it initially, perhaps, but I hope to tie this together in a way that helps us all not to be afraid of death. There's always a little bit of fear about that non-existence that comes at some point for all of us, and instead give us some different ways of looking at both existence and reality, and hopefully giving us some strength and some joy in the things that might otherwise scare us. I have stated on many occasions that the mysteries of life exceed human understanding. It's hard to get up here and speak about things when time and time again you say, these are really beyond us. For instance, is there a God or a godlike creature or creatures out there, singular or plural? And do we really think that our puny minds could understand them if they did exist? What happens after we die? For that matter, what is it to be alive? What is it that makes you, you? How did a universe as vast as ours, huge beyond imaginings, and I've done talks on just the vastness of the universe, how did all that come to exist? Was there a time when it didn't exist? And if it didn't exist, what did exist? Or if there was nothing, what is nothing? And then our minds start to implode because we can't really understand these things. Our puny human minds don't reach out beyond some of these confines of our understanding. What would be the implications if we could actually travel through time? Would we be able to defeat death? Would death even have meaning if we could travel through time? So I've entitled this sermon, Through the Looking Glass, a reference to Alice in Wonderland, of course. She was confronted with a world very different from our own, and I would like us to try to travel to a world of concepts that will stretch us, make us look at things differently, and perhaps live differently. And we start by going to a place called Flatland. Now, if you're my age, it was almost inevitable that when you were in school, at some point, you saw the movie Flatland. I probably saw it about 5-6 times. It was a classic. And if you remember, as I tell this story, you may remember some of your friends just going, "What? I don't get this." If you haven't heard about it, Flatland was published in 1880 as a novel by Edwin Abbott, and it was actually meant to be a satire of Victorian England, but it became much more famous for its concept of a two-dimensional world instead of our three-dimensional world. And like I said, there's an animated movie. There are now reprints of this book with lots of additional commentary and background information. I'm not going to be really discussing the story right now, but we do need to take a look at Flatland as an idea. And so I have brought you the state-of-the-art visual aids, I might add. And in some respects, I could have put together a really fancy multimedia presentation, but there's nowhere to show it here. And even if I did, this actual piece of cardboard helps to illustrate some points. So first of all, Flatland is two-dimensional. In our world, you have three dimensions, so you have length and width and height. In Flatland, there are only two dimensions. There is no height at all. Now, sometimes when you think about Flatland and people present it, they present it as a world that's like paper thin, and there's just this little edge where the two-dimensional beings see each other. But in reality, there is no height at all, not even an atom of height. It doesn't exist. But somehow, these two-dimensional beings still interact with each other and bump into each other. So if you're looking top-down on Flatland, you have a bunch of these shapes. These are all the different creatures in Flatland. They were generally shapes. So you had triangles, which were your soldiers or your army. And then you could have circles and squares. And all these different shapes were creatures in Flatland. Now in Flatland, you can't go through somebody. You have to go around them. So if you have a bunch of creatures all lined up side by side, there's no way to get around them. You can't go over them. There is no over. There's only two dimensions. If a third dimensional thing were to interact, say a tube, like the cardboard tube in the center of a roll of toilet paper or paper towels were to intersect, the people in Flatland would encounter this little circle up here in the corner. They wouldn't see the entire tube. They just see that part that intersected with the two-dimensional world, which is actually has no height at all. And if I tipped it this way, you wouldn't see anything because two dimensions disappear. But we're going to pretend that these two-dimensional creatures, when they're looking at each other, see something. They see something. Now, if we're looking at a square in Flatland and we're looking down on it, you're going to see a square shape like this piece of cardboard. But if you're two-dimensional and you live in Flatland, and I tip the square this way, what you're actually seeing is a line. You don't even see the corner. You just see from here to here where my hands are, and from your perspective, it looks like a line. And if I turn it this way, it looks like a line, and it constantly looks like a line. If you actually were to walk into it, you'd feel the point, but just looking at it, all you see is emptiness or something. That's how Flatland works. The word up becomes very important in the story because a third dimensional being is trying to interact with one of these creatures in Flatland and trying to explain up. And to a Flatlander, up means north because there is no up. There is no coming up out of Flatland up here. They don't understand that concept. So we're going to use a jailbreak scenario to understand Flatland a little more. This is my beautifully illustrated jail. And here's a little door right here marked with the arrows to show that it opens and closes. And this pink entity is one of our guys. We'll call him Fred. So Fred lives in Flatland. And they throw him in jail. They close the door. And so you have four solid lines around poor Fred. Fred can't get out of this cell now. And the guards are out here keeping watch just to make sure that door doesn't open up. But along comes Doug, and Doug says, "Hi, Fred, how'd you like to get out of jail?" "Well, I can't, the door's closed, there's guards there, what are you going to do?" And I say to Fred, "I'm going to lift you up, out of Flatland. And then I'm going to put you back down, back into your world, but now you're not in the jail cell." Now, poor Fred's mind has just been blown. What is this up thing? And I just went through this wall and I don't get it. And I went through this wall because I went into the world of up. And so Doug tries desperately to explain what has happened with up, but Fred can't understand it. Fred doesn't grasp anything beyond the two dimensions. So this is a brief illustration of Flatland and how a Flatlander could do something miraculous, in this case, pass through a solid wall. by going into the third dimension. So, that illustrates the premise. But what about us three-dimensional beings? How does this apply to us? And more importantly, is this just a game, a little mental exercise, or does this have some practical application for us in our lives? I think it actually does. There is speculation, and it, you know, there's no universal agreement on this, but for us, up and doing this miraculous thing of getting out of this jail cell, for us, going into the fourth dimension would let us do this same miraculous thing. We could pass through these walls if we could get into the fourth dimension and come out there without going through the door. And the fourth dimension is usually considered to be time. So let's think about it. Let's suppose we could travel through time. If I could do that and just snap my fingers and move through time, I could go back 500 years before this building existed. And I could walk out there, I could snap my fingers again. And from your perspective, I would have just miraculously transported from here to out there. I've just gone through a solid wall. In reality, I have just gone to the world of time. Just like Fred went to up, I went to time, the fourth dimension. And by going into the fourth dimension, miraculous things can happen. Of course, we can't really do that, but what if we could? The Greek philosopher, and I hope I don't butcher his name, Heraclitus, said, "You can't step into the same river twice." Or more simply, everything is always changing. Yeah, you can walk into something called a river, let's say the Mississippi River, and you can step into it, and you can step out, and you can step back into it, and you say, well, I've just stepped into the same river, except you haven't, because it has changed. The water has gone by. You're stepping into different atoms of water at that point, or molecules, technically, of H2O, because I know I'm going to get corrected on that. That's the one thing I don't miss about coming here every month is the sheer staggering intellect out there. And the grammar police. Yeah. That's okay. I'm an English major. I do it too. So anyhow, let's think about this. If you can't step into the same river twice, how about you, whatever you are? Are you the same person from moment to moment? Now, I know I've talked about this a couple months ago, give or take, when I talked about going back in the past and visiting other aspects of yourself. Well, we're sort of going to touch on that again today. The you of right now is different than the you of 5 minutes ago, or a year ago, or yesterday, or any other time, because cells die, new cells are formed. You acquire new sensory inputs, accumulate new memories, you change. You are not the same as you were even when you left your home this morning. Stepping into the fourth dimension, the world of time, forces us to examine the nature of our being, the definition of me. Take this scenario. Suppose you could build that time machine, let's say we'll call it a TARDIS, for instance, and travel anywhere in the past or the future. But instead of something dramatic like going back to see the beginning of the universe, we're going to go back 1 minute. And so you go back in time 1 minute, and I step out, and there I am from 1 minute ago. And now there's two of me, to those of you watching. But from my perspective, there's only one me. But from my other me's perspective, that me is me. So there's me over here, and there's me over here, and we both think we're the original, and the other one's something else. But in reality, for each one of us, not only can I say, this is me, honestly and truly, so can the other, because we change from moment to moment. Now, if you have ever studied any Buddhist philosophy, which you know I like to do, that is exactly what they talk about all the time, that you are a momentary existence, a conspiracy, if you will, of sensory inputs and interactions of things in the universe that cause you to exist moment to moment, and each moment you die, and each moment you are born again. In fact, in some schools like Zen Buddhism, the terms rebirth, which some schools consider to be actual reincarnation as another form of life after you've died, they consider rebirth to mean the moment by moment changing of who you are. You are born again, literally over and over and over, countless times every day. And so you are changing, and you try to come to grips with the fact that you're not solid, you don't exist outside the universe, you are constantly changing. This notion of traveling through time helps us to see that a little better, I think. So you've met yourself, and you're both arguing which one is really you. And of course, from your perspective, the one right now with the current memories is you, but the other person used to be you. But now that you can travel through the fourth dimension of time, the you that used to be you is now no longer you, but another entity. And there are two of you who are similar, but not identical. And each of you have a separate identity. And as you travel through this thing called life, which is also traveling through this thing called time, you are leaving behind an infinite string of you. Infinite because who knows how low you can divide time into segments. It's not a second. It's not a nanosecond. There is literally in one day an infinite number of you being born and dying. And if you could travel through time, you would see an infinite string of you. In fact, in Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut, they talk about a race of beings who exist outside of time. And when they see an entity, they don't see a single figure. They see a string from birth to death. This is like a gigantic snake that goes and intertwines and comes back and interloops upon itself because time doesn't exist for them. So they see every moment of your existence as a giant string, if you will. Crazy when you think about it that way. But if time didn't affect you, that's how things would be. The movie Interstellar that came out a few months ago, maybe it's been half a year by now, I've lost track, they tried to deal with this a little bit and deal with astronauts going into a black hole, or at least one astronaut, and seeing a room that exists outside of time. And he, when he's in there, can see his whole past and actually interacts with himself in the past, which time travel movies never work. But it's a great idea trying to illustrate what it would be like to be in a room that didn't exist in time. So that part's worth the cost of admission, at least. So you've got all these weird concepts when you stop thinking about yourself as existing outside of time, but rather trying to transcend time. You exist now. The past is inaccessible, and you only know about the future or the past because of the workings of your brain. There is right now that's real. There's the past that you remember. There's the future you can speculate upon. It is entirely possible, by the way, that all those memories of your past are false memories. What if God, for lack of a better word, created you right now, and everything you thought happened in the past was just memories put into your brain, and all that past never really happened? Everything was created with apparent age. So, yes, you have these memories of a family that you raised. You might be sitting next to a spouse or holding a child, but all of this was created right now. And the past is all imaginary, put in your brain by a creator. That's at least theoretically possible. And all the sermons I've given you and all the times I've stood up here never really happened. I just think they happened because it's all up here. As far-fetched as it sounds, it once again, it helps us to think beyond the boundaries that we normally impose upon ourselves. We have one final point to consider. If you could ever travel through time, not only would no one ever really be dead, there would be an infinite number of each of us, as I've already said. We could use our time machine to go back in time in 1 second intervals, picking up a copy of ourselves at each stop. And if we did this for 1 hour, our time machine would contain 3,600 slightly different versions of ourself. And if we did this for 1 day, there would be 86,400, because I know how to do a little math. In reality, there are an infinite number of each one of us because time can be infinitely divided into smaller and smaller units. Now, is this possible? Well, the fact that we haven't had visitors from our future selves collecting us in one of these time machines, probably not. Wait, you might say, perhaps in the future someone will. Well, now you're just being arrogant, because you think you're on the leading edge of time. What if the future's already out there, and you're the past? And if that's the case, then those really smart people from thousands and thousands of years in the future already exist, and they could have come back here in a time machine. So don't be time arrogant. There's got to be a word for that. You know, you have racists and speciesists. There must be timesists or something like that. Current eventists. In it, current eventists. That's a good one. I like that one. In any case, you may not be the leading edge of time. Your future selves may have already lived their lives, and you're just stuck in this moment where you think reality is transpiring as we speak. And in reality, it may already have passed you by, and we're just here waiting for a time traveler to come back and see us. If this were true in this model, all time happens simultaneously. You're outside of Flatland. You're not a two-dimensional being stuck on a plane with no height anymore. You are now beyond that. And I want to illustrate a point of being beyond. This is not actually a dice, but it's sort of a dice because it has 1 through 6 written on all the sides. Now, when we're trying to get outside of this thing of time, this is one more illustration to use. If I hold a dice up, at most, you can see 3 sides at one point. Okay? No matter how I turn it, no matter what I do, your eyeballs can only perceive at most 3 sides. Sometimes just one if I hold it at the correct angle. If you could transcend time in the third dimension, you would see all 6 sides of this dice simultaneously. So you would see 1 through 6 all at the same time. And you could do that by going into time, just like Fred left Flatland and went into up. If we could go into time and just bop around and see it all and take it all in at the same time, then this third dimensional construct right here wouldn't limit your ability to observe it. So this is the same way I'm trying to break our minds out of thinking about time as something that you're stuck on. Here's another one, another exercise. What if, and think, this is probably how we view time. We're on a conveyor belt that goes from birth to death. And our shoes are glued onto this conveyor belt. And our feet are in these shoes. And they're tied really tight. And we get to go along as the conveyor belt moves. We don't get to go back. We don't get to go forward. We're stuck in this one spot. And that conveyor belt carries us inexorably from beginning to end. And at the end, we reach death or non-existence. What if we could break out of that? What if we could untie those shoes? What if you could walk around on that conveyor belt? That's when you have transcended the third dimension and gone into the fourth. And if you could do that, you could go back in time and see all the people who you thought were dead, but are simply existing at another point. Now, all of this, again, could be just take, oh, these are great mental exercises. This is fun. So what? It does tie in, I think, to who we are and why we're here, or at least how we're here. Okay? Maybe, when you think about things this way, maybe death doesn't hold as much fear, if it holds fear for you at all, and I don't know that it does. We all wish that we could exist longer, perhaps, when we hit that point near death. Some people say they're ready to die, so I don't know. I haven't hit that point in my life yet. But it's something that I have to look at a lot. I've sat by people who died more often than anyone would like to. No one wants to see a loved one go. And yet, there is that time where they say, it's too much. The pain's too much. The fighting's too much. And I'm ready to go. But those of us left behind are sad, of course. We miss our loved ones. But what if all of this coming and going is an illusion? What if there is something beyond this? What if these notions of an afterlife, of heaven, or nirvana, or any of the other religious constructs for what happens. What if these are ways, perhaps, of getting around time? And what if our existence does somehow go beyond these three dimensions? This is purely speculative, I understand that. But just like the flatlander who says, there's no such thing as up, I don't even know what you're talking about. What if, for us, the vastness of the universe holds such mysteries that even allow us, perhaps, to conquer death, and that time itself is simply one factor in many, and that when it all is said and done, somehow we can find a way beyond that. And somehow we do still exist, and somehow a time traveler can go back and see us in our past lives, and somehow that's always going on. Now, this is not meant to be Doug's statement on how he believes the universe exists. What it is meant to be is a way for us to come to grips with our limited knowledge and desire to know more, and desire to seek possibilities beyond the limitations of our third dimensional existence. So, I hope that wasn't too much on a day when you had to adjust your clocks and lose an hour of sleep. But I do look forward to a very interesting discussion afterwards. Thank you.